peace and love. Peace and love, everybody. This is your host, Dr. Carl S. Moore. Welcome back to the Universal Love Movement. I am excited to share with you part two of the positive intelligence conversation we started in this coaching training. I think we're in like week three now or so. And we're going to talk about self-command versus your own judge, right? Or dancing with your judge. Picture two entities, these like, you know, imaginary figures, kind of like, you know, I always think of like dance fighting. Like, it's always kind of comical to me, like the Broadway thing where they're like snapping their fingers, walking up, or break dancing like back in the day. So not real fighting, but like dancing. There's a rhythm to it. So, but in any case, so what am I referring to here when I say your self-command versus your judge? In short, or just maybe straightforward terms, it's your ability to manage what you think, how you feel, and what you do with any stimulus that is, that you're met with, right? So that's pretty much what it comes down to. Now, this could be, you know, a situation. This could be, like a life happening. It could be a person. Even more concrete example is that, you know, I could, something could happen in my life. Like recently, I told you, I have recently had a knee injury, and I could judge that situation as a bad happening, right? Like, because what's interesting is that when you look at, you know, things, most things are neutral, but we can assign positive or negative value. Because, I mean, you know, there are even things like some very horrific things that people have said, hey, that happened to me and it was the best thing to happen to me, or that happened to me, it's the worst thing. So what separates one person from the other, like a person that maybe loses a parent or has an injury, what is different between one person or and the other is the way they judge the situation, right? And that judging of the situation comes from their ability to command themselves to think in a more constructive or a positive way. You know what's interesting about self-command is that I remember this was a couple of years ago. I was watching a video on YouTube or something, or it may have been in a book I was reading, where they were saying make your bed every day when you get up, and I started doing it. So I'm like, it makes sense. I forgot exactly the explanation, but now I kind of get it even more so in terms of the muscle that it takes just to be able to stop yourself and discipline your mind, right, and focus on doing something that you may not want to do, and the transferability of that, right? So when we were talking about the judge and self-command, that's it. Now, there are situations, there are people, and there's yourself, right? Or the way in which you've acted that you can always look at as, you know, positive or negative. And I would say, you know, we all have our ebbs and flows, but one of the goals of like exercising positive intelligence would be a person who's able to, when they look at what happens with people, when they look at what's happening with themselves or situations, that they assign positive value, right? So this person, you know, is very at work. They seem like they're like a very selfish person and you don't like their energy. The goal would be to command yourself not to think negatively about the person, right? You can notice the situation, but you can then at that moment think to yourself, okay, let me explore, you know, what I can learn from this, or what, it's one of those things like, what is it, you know how they say, the constant variable is you, it's always about you. So how are you framing, how are you looking at it? Now, it doesn't mean that person isn't whatever, but it's not our responsibility to judge and place value on those things, unless it is your role to provide. But then in that case, it's providing feedback to be constructive, and, you know, it's just a different muscle. So when you talk about the judge is huge. So you're gonna get it. So the self-command thing is pretty, it's easy to grasp, although it's not, it's like a thing that, at least in observations of the author of the book, it's not something that, it's something that he's worked with thousands of companies over. It's not something that has come easy to people. And that's why the book, and he's employed, right? And it's such a breakthrough kind of a approach. But when it comes, so for the self-command, it's just, you know, assigning value, constructive value. It's making sure that whenever there's a stimulus from the external, that you have more self-authorship and, you know, the ability to do something constructive versus going off of your raw emotion or what have you. So it talks about pain, you know, being, you know, information. But if you keep your hand on the stove, you know, like if you were to touch the stove and you say, ow, you feel it and you do something different, right? Whereas sometimes the lack of self-command, people will literally leave themselves, their hand on the stove and continue to feel those negative emotions, which we know doesn't serve anyone, the negative thoughts or what have you. And a judge comes in at that moment when there's a lack of self-command. And it's interesting because I've actually referred to the judge as the judge in the judge's sabbies, as when I was actually explaining it to my daughter. She's 5, so I was breaking it down to her in like a, and I said, you know, there's this, and me, I think about things like from my upbringing. So I remember Ninja Turtles and Dr. Shredder, right? So Dr. Shredder was like the master of darkness, right? And all of this, wanted to do things that he thought were good, but he really, you know, but there weren't. And the foot soldiers were, you know, his hench people or henchmen or whatever. So that's in our minds, you kind of can think of it like that. You have this judge who's always going to look at people, yourself, situations, and try to render them as negative, right? So it's kind of casting or assigning some type of value that's negative, right? And it's interesting because it says it's an imprisoning thing, because it creates these absolutes based off of your baggage and your history. So, you know, kind of pretend that you were, you know, a kid growing up and you had a cast on your arm. I think I may have said this in the first, and this is what Shazard was saying. And then you grow up and that cast is still in your arm. It's like you don't need it anymore because your arm is healed, but because of the cast, you're afraid to do it. So some judgment comes from, you know, a lot of it comes from fear. It comes from, you know, your baggage and your history in that kind of way. So it's interesting to think about. And the saboteurs that are part of the hench people for the judge, they're like not over 9 of them, you know, at least how he classifies them. But, you know, people have any kind of variety. My top 3, look, the ones that really show up in my life are, you know, this whole people was a pleaser. And I think I had an episode about that, you know, recovering people pleaser, being a hyper achiever, being restless. So just help you understand how these kind of interplay. So the pleaser is the person that when faced with the stimulus, right, some type of situation, is usually, you know, in situations where they've done what they do is out of a fear that they won't be liked, right? And in situations, the pleaser wants to make sure that they do things for folks. Now, we would say that, you know, fear of not being liked is not always as healthy, but wanting to please people, like I said before, is not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, in the Western society, it looks worse than it is. But the pleaser thing really comes from the judgment is the implicit residual, right? It's I've done all this stuff for you. I've done all this stuff for my job, for these other people. And look, what have they done for me in return, right? So he had mentioned in his, in the audio book I was listening to the second time, he had mentioned that Mother Teresa gave, you know, her heart to the world. And that was one of the very pleasing thing for society, but she didn't expect anything in return, right? You know, so I, you know, kind of thinking about myself and my pleaser and how that makes me like very judgmental about people in situations and even myself, It's like beating yourself up, beating the world up in terms of what's happening, beating others up, right? So that's it. The other one is a hypervigilant, well, I'm sorry, hyperachiever. Another one of my like things that kind of triggers my unique saboteur who works with the judge. Remember, the judge is the shredder or the King Cobra of G.I. Joe, whatever. And so then the saboteurs are kind of like the hench people or whatever. So when I am in a hyperachiever mode, I tell myself, I beat myself up because I think that I can do more or I should do more, right? Or the society should do more, right? Or, you know, this person should do more. So it could be toxic in that it's always pushing for things to be better versus recognizing what they are. And it can be detrimental to oneself when you're doing it to yourself because you don't let yourself rest. You kind of value achievement or doing things over relationships or, you know, pushing people to be whatever over just value, honoring who they are as a human being. And you could honor a person as a human being and still kind of, you know, be in support of them moving forward, but you don't have to push. But the hyperachiever thing is really interesting. And, you know, my hyperachiever and my pleaser come from me being like a second youngest out of six children, right? So I've always had to, you know, kind of find my way and make sure everyone's happy so I can get, you know, I've learned to have that was a positive way that I would move forward in life. Like, hey, let me make sure everybody's happy. You know, I grew up, most of the time it was me and my four sisters. So it was like, okay, let me make sure I do this, this, and that. And it developed this thing. It's worked great in life, but it has actually created a lot of residual in terms of my judgment of myself and other people when there's the resentfulness and the expectation that society is going to do the same thing for me in return, you know, giving, 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 versus what is not necessarily a people pleaser. If I'm just like a positive person doing things and not expecting anything in return, that's a little different. And, you know, there's this other saboteur that I have as a judge. I'm sorry, it's called a restless, where it's like I'm going to be able to keep myself busy because I don't like what's happening, right? And let me escape. You're trying to escape. So it's an interesting thing. You know, I strongly encourage you to read the book, but I had a recent situation that, you know, in terms of I had to really exercise my self-command all the time at my job, you know, in terms of just in every job I've been in, but in terms of just like, okay, looking at the situation, assigning positive value, or even with myself, like when I examine how I've performed or done whatever, it's like looking at it from a more of a, they say, you know, say growth mindset, things as opportunities, or from a more constructive mindset, positive mindset, where it's like, oh, this is what it is, and this is how wonderful it could be, or just this is what it is. And sometimes what will slip in there in judging is to say, okay, it'll be better, but as far as my positivity, but that's not to even think things have to be better is sometimes a little bit pressure that we put on ourselves. So all in all, I would say that one's ability to assign value to anything is so important because wherever you go, there you are. It's even, it's kind of like Shazard had mentioned that whole thing of like, I will be happy when, you know, and I know so many people think that, you know, when they get $1 million, when they do this, when they get the job, when they have the kids, there's a house, whatever. But those same saboteurs show up there and they just become bigger and stronger because you have more influence, more money, more power, whatever those things are. And they create, and I tell you, I have some stories I could tell about how they create larger judgments around things. Like, it's then you're looking at, or you're kind of like talking yourself out of being truly happy, which can happen, or positive, which can happen with like very little. But we all know that, you know, being abundant and living, we definitely want to put caps on that because it's a beautiful thing. It's just one, the most important thing is wherever you go, there you are, right? What is your mind doing with the stimulus from internal moments, situations that you're dealing with, people that you're dealing with, situations, and how much self-command do we have? how strong are those muscles at assigning positive value, at being able to regulate, right? Being able to regulate what you are thinking about yourself, thinking about others, thinking about situations. And, you know, it's kind of like, hey, how can these situations be the greatest thing that ever happened to me? That question always being there. And what can I learn from this? Or, you know, and always just kind of moving forward. So, you know, I'll get into the what is on the other end, right? And that's the sage perspective in part three. So, yeah, this is a Universal Love Movement with your host, Dr. Carl S. Moore, sending love and light.